Today's shir is Masechta Becharos Daf Nun Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom, Amar of Anan. In our previous shir, we had learned the Mishnah, the Gemara, where the Gemara and Mishnah had introduced to us the concept of the Tfusas Abayis, that if a father, Rachman Slam, passes away, and the Yarshim just continue the estate without dividing it, the halach is that even though, as we learned in our previous year, shutfim, partners, are not mechuyiv in bechayra, a maisa behema, but this is not considered a situation of shutfus. The Gemara continued to discuss what happens if shutfim divide their father's estate, if yorshim, brothers, divide their father's estate, and then they recombine. Under what circumstances will it be considered just that the Tfusus Abayis has re-emerged and there will be a chiv of Maisa Behema? Or will it be considered a shutvus, a new partnership, where there's no chiv of Maisa Behema? So if Anan comments, Lo Shana El Shecholku Gedoyim Keneget Yashim, that when the brothers divided the state, one brother got the goats, the other brother got the sheep. Yashim Keneget Gedoyim. The one brother got the goats and the other brother got the sheep. Aval, choku, gedoyim kenegi gedoyim. If they divided, that there are, let's say, that they divided the sheep and they divided the goats and they divided the sheep. Omer, that's when Rav Anan says, we hold ze chelkoi hamagiyoi mishar rishayna. Then we say that this must have been his from the beginning. And what is the basis of Rav Anan's opinion? The basis of Rav Anan's opinion is Yesh Breira. We say retroactively this was always theirs, and since retroactively this was always theirs, so when they now divided, I get this many goats, that we divided the goats, so we divided the sheep, and then these two brothers combine again as partners, the halacha does not look at them as partners, but the halacha looks at it as if the Tfusas Habayis has again re-emerged. And since the Tfusas Habayis has again re-emerged, they're going to be mechuyev and maisa behema. Reb Nachman Amar, Reb Nachman disagrees. He holds a fichul gedoyim kedegi gedoyim. Even if they divided it this way, the tiyoshim kedegi tiyoshim, ein oimim zeha chalka magiyim mishar rishon al kach. We don't apply the concept of Breira. V'Reb Elazar Omer, Reb Elazar, again, the Gemara says we have another Machloikis Amoraim, which mirrors this Machloikis, although as we're going to explain that exactly. Lo Shana Shecholku Tes Keneged Yud, for Yud Keneged Tes. When is there a problem if one brother got 9 goats, and the other brother got 10 goats? Obviously, the 9 goats are more valuable than the 10 goats. Avachokotes kenegetes, the yud kenegetyud. If they divided 9 against 9 and 10 against 10, oimazachalka hashar rishonim lakach. So, as the rishonim explained Rabbi Loza's opinion, Rabbi Loza obviously agrees to the concept of yesh breira. But even though Rabbi Loza agrees to the concept of breira, he has a much more limited application. And he says we're only going to apply the case of Breira, the concept of Breira, if both brothers have a very equal division. They both end up with the same amount of goats or the same amount of sheep. But if it's not the exact same amount, even though in value they're certainly equal, that's why they divided it that way, we no longer will say Breira. Rabbi Yochanan says even if it's an exact division, Chol Kutes Keneged Tes, 9 to 9, Vasar Keneged Asara, 10 to 10, Ein we never say Zeh Chalkai Hamagiyah Mishar Rishon Al Kach. Rabbi Yochanan never is agreeable to the concept of Breira. So Mepharshim ask, why do Rav Anan and Rav Elazar in a more limited way apply here the concept of Breira versus in other areas in Halacha they want to agree to Breira? They're saying specifically when the Yorshim divide, Rav Elazar with his conditions, Reb Anon with his conditions, do we apply the concept of Breira? So I saw the Achroim say beautiful pshat. They say that Yorshim, dividing the estate, is much different than any other transaction we find in Halacha. And they bring a Gevaldige Raya. The Halacha, they say, is, this is one of the most fundamental Halachas in Shas, is as if a transaction between two individuals, a buyer and a seller, the transaction is not considered halachically valid unless there's a kinyan. Here, there is no requirement for a kinyan. Why is there no requirement for kinyan? Because, obviously, Yerusha, since each one of us, the Yarshim, already somewhat connected to this estate as being Yarshim, the halach is that we don't have to do a kinyan when we divide the Yerusha. And they say even a bigger chiddush. They say the chiddush is that even when they reconstitute themselves as a partnership, and normally, halachically, when a partnership is formed, certainly a kinyan is required. These two brothers don't require to have a kinyan when they constitute a partnership. All with the same reasoning, because they're already very connected to this, and that to this estate. And that's why we say Breira. So if that's the case, ask the Chazon Ish, let's go the other way. Rav Onan and Rav Elazar, who are clearly applying an our Gemara under their circumstances that they've spoken about, the concept of Breira, so ask the Chazon Ish, they both agree that if it will be Tiyoshim connected Gedoyim, you get the Gedoyim, I get the Tiyoshim. Everybody agrees we don't say Breira. But given what we just said, that since they're so very connected to this estate, and that's why Kinyonim, as we just explained, aren't required, so then why don't we apply the concept of Breira, even when they divided Tiyoshim connected Gedoyim, that everybody agrees we won't say Breira. So the Chazon Ish says a beautiful pshat. He says, maybe as far as Hilchas Breira are concerned, we should apply the concept of Breira. But we've learned, and we're going to apply this concept also in today's shir, we spoke about it in yesterday's shir, that the Torah compares Maisa Behema to Bechor, and by Bechor it's very clear that this is a Bechor Adam. If it's going to be a situation of Tiyoshim Gege Gedoyim, that clarity is lacking. And since that clarity is lacking, everybody will agree that it cannot be considered a reconstituted Tfusus Abayis. But then I saw that the Sefer Michas Avraham has a very interesting question. It should be obvious to all of us, he says, that the discussion we're having in our Gemara, if it's considered a new entity, a new halachic entity, a Shutfus, or is it considered a continuation of the Tfusus Abayis, is only when there are a number of Yarshim who divided the Yerusha. However, let's say there's only one Yarish. A father left over one son only. So certainly, there's no division. He's the sole Yarish. He's the sole heir. And therefore, it's certainly a continuation of Tfusus Abayis. But what will be the halacha he discusses? Interesting Shaila. That one son who is the Yarish, the only inheritor, is also a Bechor. He's the firstborn son. So now, the question is, when one only has one Yairish, who happens to be a Bechor, do Hilchas Bechoru apply? Or where do we say Hilchas Bechoru, he says? When there are a number of brothers, as we discussed earlier in Amasechta, when there are another number of brothers, that's when Hilchas Bechoru is relevant. But when there's only one brother, why do we have to have Hilchas Bechoru? He's anyway getting everything. What's the Nafgamina? He says, Al Gemara the Nafgamina. Because if we look at this one brother, this one son, as just the entire, being the only Yairish, and certainly therefore continuing the Tfusus Abayis, he'd be Chayiv in Maisa Behema. But if we look at this one son, who also happens to be a Bechor, as getting the entire Yerusha, part of it as a Yairish and part of it as a Bechor, we learned earlier in Amasecht, in the previous parak, a Bechor gets his portion as a Matana. And we learned in yesterday's shir that what is received as matana has no chiv in Maisa Behema. So now we have to look at this Yerusha. Is he just a Yairish, continuing the Tfusus Abayis, and there'll be a chiv of Maisa Behema? Or is he partially Bechor and partially Yairish, and what he gets as a Bechor he's getting as a matana, and there won't be a chiv in Maisa Behema? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, who in our Gemara is not agreeable to the concept of Breira, is Rabbi Yochanan that we find many times throughout Shas. V'az Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, Dom Rav Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'achas Shecholku, brothers who are Yoshim and then divided the estate, Lekuchasheim, the halacha looks at them as if they're doing a business transaction, you getting with trading, so to speak, and therefore Machzir and Zelah is a b'yovel. The halacha is that b'yovel, as in any business transaction, everything goes back to where it started. And it's a very interesting machloikas ha'achroinim. What does Rabbi Yochanan mean, Machzir and Zelah is a b'yovel? Three opinions I saw in the achroinim. The Mashal says, as is Poshe Pshat in the Gemara, Machzir and Zelah is a b'yovel. When Yovel comes, these two brothers go back to where we started, and they redivide the estate, and things could have changed in 50 years. That's the Mashal's Pshat. Bnei Yeshua is just the opposite. The Bnei Yeshua says, it's, so to speak, just a ceremony. It comes to Yovel, they go through sort of a ceremonial going back to where we started, and afterwards, everybody ends up with the portion that they got originally. The third Pshat, most interesting Pshat, is the Pshat of the Smag, is the opinion of the Smag. The Smag says that the division remains as it was, but they switch places. That means you had two brothers, a simple case, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven got one share, Shimon got another share. Yovel comes, according to the Smag, Reuven takes Shimon's portion, and Shimon takes Reuven's portion. And it's very geschmack. Like that, everybody stays honest, because he knows ultimately he's going to get the brother's share. So ask the Gemara, we've seen Rabbi Yochanan apply the concept of Ein Breira twice. Why does he have to say it twice? The Tzrichi. The Ashmina Hocha, if we only would apply the concept of, that we don't say Breira here, because only here is Rabbi Yochanan not willing to accept the concept of Breira, but how come Rabbi Yochanan, here Rabbi Yochanan is not willing to accept the concept of Breira, Donyam the Bincha. Because as we said earlier, it has to be, the Torah compares, as we learned in the previous year, Maisa Behemah to Bechor. Ma Bincha Bebarulach, Bechor Adam is very clear, is a Bechor. Af Shorcha Vetzoyncha, Maisa Behemah has to be Barulach. And therefore, when they're dividing and then reconstituting, that isn't considered a situation of Barulach. And therefore, as the Rishmu Rizovsky explains, we always have a question, should we or shouldn't we apply the concept of Breira? And because we have this question, it can't be considered a situation of Barulach, and therefore it will not be considered a re-emergence of the Tfusas Abayis. Avosodah, Mechahud Amrachmana Lahed de Biyoivel. Only when there's a business transaction, a sale, is there a halach that it goes back in Yoivel. Yerushu Matana, but in a situation of Yerusha, doesn't go back, and this is a situation of Yerusha. He, on the other hand, says the Gemara, Ashmid and Sada, where Rabbi Yochanan only to tell us as halacha that when brothers divided a field, it's considered that it should go back in Yovel. L'chumra, because there it's chumra, as we just said, that when Yovel comes, they have to go back to where they begun. Inami l'chatchila. And the way the Mefarshim explain l'chatchila is, what is the concept of Yovel? The concept of Yovel is that the Torah wants that every 50 years, everything should go back to the way it began. So even in this case, the Torah wants that. Aval hocha, but there is no such concept by Maisa Behema. And maybe over here, Rabbi Yochanan will agree to the concept of Breira. That's why Tzricha, Rabbi Yochanan had to say that he doesn't agree to Breira in both situations. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a Breisa, V'kein shotrim shecholku. If you have two partners that divided, a word of introduction. In our previous year, we spoke about the Torah saying, teaching us, Lesavi Esnin Zoinen, that an animal that's given to a Zoin as payment may not be brought as a carbon. But the Pasuk continues saying that we may not bring a Mechir Kalif as a carbon either. What is the definition of a Mechir Kalif? The definition of a Mechir Kalif is if somebody sold a dog and got in exchange for that dog an animal, a kosher animal, the halacha is that that animal may not be brought as a carbon. There's actually a fascinating machlokes rishonim with very significant halach ramifications as to why. Devin Ezra says, it's a bazoyin. An animal that was received in exchange for a dog should be brought as a carbon. It's a bazoyin, and therefore it shouldn't be brought. That's how Devin Ezra explains. Interesting Ramban. The Ramban says a different reason. He says there were people that would buy dangerous dogs, wild dogs, pit bulls, and they would do serious damage. And then these people felt guilty. that they bought this kind of an animal. So to clear their conscience, they would bring an animal for carbon because of what they've done. And the Torah says, we don't want such an animal. We don't want this carbon. What's the nafka mina, explain the mefarshim, between the Eben Ezra and the Ramban? What would be the halacha if you exchanged an animal for a different non-kosher animal? According to the Eben Ezra, that the issue is a bazillion, it doesn't make a difference if it's a dog, it's another animal. And as he explains himself, the reason the Torah spoke about a dog is because the most commonly held non-kosher animal by Jews was dogs. But it doesn't mean dog, specifically. According to the Ramban's explanation, we just gave, because the dog is a wild animal, could be it's only a dog, not any other animal, is there a problem with Mechir Kelef? So, begins the Gemara with the following brisa. It's a brisa in Masechta Temura. If you have two partners that are divided. So let's start off with what did these two partners own. These two partners owned, one. They had 19 goats, to be a little more exact, they had 19 goats and one dog. So how did they divide it? They're dissolving the partnership. One took 10 goats and one took 9 goats and a dog. One took 10 goats, and the other one took 9 goats and a dog. So the animal which corresponds to the goat that corresponds to the dog, asurin. So if we have an exact number, so it's very simple. We could say that one goat is for the other animals. No, I'm sorry. The one that got the 10 goats, asurim. All of those goats are asur. Why do we say all of those goats are asur? Because we say that all of those goats are in exchange for the dog. Shema kelef. But the one that got 9 goats and a dog, the 9 goats could be brought as a carbon. Ask the Gemara, vi amrit, yesh breira, if we say the concept of breira, so why is the halacha, ask the Gemara, that the one that received all 10 goats, we need to be concerned that all 10 goats are in exchange for the dog? Why don't we just choose one goat to be the correspondent to the dog? And that goat indeed will be considered a mechir kelev and indeed will not be able to be brought as a carbon. And the other 9 should be able to be brought as a carbon. Ask Tysus, the Tysus is on the bottom of Nem Vav Amid Beis. Obvious question. When they made this deal, they didn't take one animal versus another animal. So how do you know which is the goat that corresponds to the dog that you should say you could do it? So Tysus answers, they don't have to say it. It's understood that these 10 animals correspond to these 10 animals, and therefore I could choose any goat and say that that's the goat that's corresponding to the dog. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, absolutely. Either Shava Kula Hadadi, if it's an exact match, that the 10 goats are equal to the 9 goats and the dog, and a chanami hachanami. You would be right. Just one goat cannot be used as a mechir kelev. The other 9 goats would be fine. However, hachem ma'iskinen, the lo shava kula hadadi. The dog is more expensive than any one of the goats. Rashi gives an example how you could do the math in such a situation. The shava high kalba, so the dog is more expensive than any one goat. Shavi high kalba chad umashahu. The high mashu moshe fas bekula. If it would be a case where the dog was equal in value to the goat, says the Gemara, absolutely correct. We take one goat, as we just explained from Tysus, pull it to the side, and the other 9 goats would be fine. Here the dog is more expensive than any one goat. So there's one goat that's corresponding to the dog, but there's still left over. There's a remainder. That remainder is spread out over the other 9. Ask the Chazon Ish, why do we have to spread it out over the other 9? Spread it out over the other one. Just spread it out over one. So you won't be able to bring all 10. You won't be able to bring all 9, but you can bring 8. Chazon Ish is kasha. Answers the Chazon Ish, as we said a moment ago. Since we can't clearly identify where to put that remainder, because it isn't an easy matchup, the only time we could say Breira is when it's a very clear matchup. When it's lacking in clarity, everybody agrees you can't say Breira. There's a very interesting question that Tysus asks. Tysus says, if we're learning in our shiur today that there's a concept of Breira, so he says, a lot of the shailas that come up in kashrus could be easily resolved. Let's say we have something not kosher falling into something that's kosher, and it's not bottled, why don't we just say breira and pick up one piece and say hovra dover, that is the non-kosher piece? So answers Tysus a very important question, important teretz. He says, when you have a teruvus, that's what we just discussed, non-kosher falling into kosher, what is the issue? The issue is not that you have a mixture. The issue is the making of the mixture. When a situation of teruvus occurs, that is what's called osur. The fact that it can be rectified, perhaps through breira, doesn't change the reality that a situation of teruvus occurred here. And therefore, if a situation of teruvus occurred here, breira can't rectify it. So now we learn a very important vart, according to Tysus. So what happens when you do have the right ratio, shishim? It's not to be understood that you have a teruvus that's mutter. It's much deeper. If you have a situation of shishim, it's not considered in the first place a taruvus. And only when there was a taruvus is there isser. If there was no taruvus, there's no isser. Continues the Mishnah. Hakol nechnasan l'odil es aser, and as we mentioned in the previous year, the Mishnah is coming to teach us that certain animals that are not kosher for carbon are obligated to ma'aseh behema. We'll discuss this more in the Gemara. Chutz min akloim, an animal that's klayim, v'treifa, an animal that's a treifa, v'yotzadoifin, an animal that was born with a cesarean section, or mechusazman. Mechusazman has two definitions. One, as we've been learning in our shir, that the animal isn't yet 8 days old. And another is that if the mother or the child was slaughtered that day, so there's a problem of oisiris benoi, v'yosim. An animal that's a yosim. V'eza a yosim. Ask the Mishnah immediately, what is the definition of a yosim? Kol shemes imoi, a shenishchta v'akiyalda. That when the animal was born, it no longer had a mother. And as the Mefarshim explained, certainly if the animal was born with its mother alive and then its mother died, that's not called a yosim, because everybody's mother is ultimately going to die. The yosim must be a unique situation that the mother died in childbirth before the baby was completely born. And of course, certainly we're not talking in a situation where the animal was born through cesarean, because we already said the din of Yotze Dofen. It had a natural childbirth, but it died before the baby was completely born. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out, why does the Mishnah speak about the case of Nishchata? Why does it have to say Shemes Imay Shnishchata? Isn't that the same? So the Mefarshim explained that if the animal is Mefarches, it's dead, but it's still being Mefarches, it's considered dead. A very interesting correspondence between the Michas Elazar and the Divrei Yoel, the Satmar Rebbe. Michas Elazar asks, what is the halacha if the mother became a treifa in childbirth? So we know, as we discussed in Masechta Chulin, treifa ein chai, an animal that's a treifa cannot survive. So the question is, if the mother became a treifa, how does the halacha look at the mother? As if it's dead, and the child is a yosim, the baby born is a yosim, or right now it's alive, and therefore it's not considered a yosim. So the Michas Elazar doesn't answer the question, he leaves it with a question. The Divrei Yoel, the Shalos HaTshuvos Divrei Yoel, in his first tshuva, discusses this issue. He says, as long as the mother is alive, even though it's a treifa, the child will not be considered a yosim. There's also interesting machlokes rishonim. Our Gemara is clearly teaching us that, our Mishnah is clearly teaching us that a yosim does not have a din of ma'aser behema. What is the halacha regarding all other kabbonis? Is a yosim excluded that as being an animal that can be brought as a carbon? That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Ravitz says it's a din dafka by ma'aser behema, not anywhere else. Rav Shua, Omer, afil nishchat ima, even if the mother was slaughtered, v'ashalach kain, but its hide is alive, is still here, as the Gemara will explain, and the baby is wrapped in the mother's hide, Ainza Yosim, it's already not considered a Yosim. Ask the Gemara, Menonimili, how do we know that all of these animals that were spoken about in the Mishnah are not obligated in Ma'isa Behema? Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Shar Oikesef Prat L'Klayim. An animal that's Klayim is not obligated in Ma'isa Behema. Oyez Prat L'Nidma. We spoke about Nidma a lot earlier in Amasechta. Nidma means where animal doesn't look like its mother or father. Such an animal is not obligated to Ma'aser Behema. However, says the Michas Chinuch says that if it looks somewhat like one of the parents, it has some resemblance, it will be Chayiv in Ma'aser Behema. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out, why doesn't our Mishnah speak about Nidma? if the halacha of nidma is the same as klayim. So Rishonim say that the halacha of nidma and the halacha of klayim always travel together. So once our Mishnah mentioned the halacha of klayim, it didn't have to mention the halacha of nidma. It's obvious what the halacha is. Kivalet, prat lo yotzidoyfen. Had to have a natural birth, not a cesarean. V'hoi yeshiv shamim, prat l'chus zman, is not obligated in ma'aser behema. Pat tachas imoy, prat l'yosim. Yosim doesn't have a din in ma'aser behema. Rav Shimon, Rishma b'noish, Rav Yoichim, Rav Baruch Omer, Nemekan, tachas ha-shevet. The Torah uses the word tachas ha-shevet regarding ma'aser behema. V'nem l'halon, by all kabonis, tachas imoy, af, Malahal and Prat L'Kol HaShemus Halalu cannot be brought as a carbon. Af Kan, Prat L'Kol HaShemus Halalu. Oma Kan, just like here, Prat L'Trefa, a Trefa doesn't have a Chiv of Ma'aser Behema, as we'll explain soon in the Gemara. Af L'Halon, so too is the Halacha that a Trefa cannot be brought as a carbon. Ask the Gemara. Our Mishnah began with the word Hakol. That certain animals that normally we would expect not included in the halacha of ma'aser behema are included. Ask the Gemara, hakol asuyamai, what is this hakol coming to teach us that is included in the halacha of ma'aser behema? Answers the Gemara, asuya hodatana rabbanan. It's coming to explain what we learned in the Braisa. That the Braisa says, haroiva v'anirva, an animal that was part of being sodomized by a human, v'amuksa, that was designated for avodah zara, v'anevet. And Rashi says neved means that somebody poured wine between its horns. Because Rashi's trying to avoid, we learned the sugya, Rashi's trying to avoid the issue, what is the halacha if one bow down to an animal? It's not so simple if you bow down to someone else's animal that becomes avodah zara. Maybe only if you bow down to your own animal. But if you poured wine for avodah zara an animal, everybody agrees that it's a nevad. So that's why Rashi gives this example. Hesna we spoke about earlier. Hamechir we spoke about earlier. But tumtum v'nandroigonus. Tumtum is where its simonim are called covered. Androgynous means it has the simonim both of a male and a female. Kula nechnosin l'dielus asir are included in the obligation of ma'aser behema. Rav Shimon Yudai Mishim Rav Shimon. Tumtum v'nandroigonus. Are not included. Ask the Gemara. Tana Dedon, let's understand the Tana of our Mishnah. If he's learning, as the Gemara just taught us a moment ago, that there's a Gzeri Shava that connects the Halacha, so Ma'aser Behema, to the Halacha of Kabonis, Hani Namiloi. So all of these animals that we just read about are disqualified to be brought as a carbon. So they should also not be included in the obligation of Ma'aser Behema. V'lo Yalef, if he doesn't learn the Gzeirah Shavah, so then the animals that we learned in the Mishnah and began with in the Gemara that aren't included in the Din of Ma'aser Behema, Hani Menole, why are they included? Why are they excluded? Answers the Gemara. Loilam Gomer. He does learn the Gzeirah Shavah connecting the Din of Ma'aser Behema to the Din of Kachim. However, these animals that were just mentioned, that even though they're disqualified to be a carbon, are included in Ma'aser Behema, Hani Rabbi Rachmana. Hani Rachmana Rabbinu. The Torah specifically included them, even though they're not to be used for carbon. Why? The Ksiv, the Torah says, Ki mashchosim bahem mumbam lo yiratzu lachem. The Torah says regarding different animals, these animals are mashchosim bahem, mumbam, and should not be used for carbon. The Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Kom makam shenei mashchosa. Wherever the Torah uses the words hashchasa, eina elo dvar erva, it represents a situation of erva or avodah zara. How do we know so? Dvar erva, the ksiv, as it says in Parashas Noach, by the Dor HaMabul, ki hishchas kabosor estarko yal oritz. Avodah zara, the ksiv, tab tashchisim asisil chem pesel tmunas kol semel tabnas zocher v'nekeva. So we see that the word hashchasa reflects avodah zara erva. And the pasuk that spoke about Ashkasa also spoke about a mum. Says the Gemara, kol shamum paisabai. So any situation where about mum is an issue, there to dvar erva avodah zara paisabai. So an animal that has the issue of erva avodah zara are also disqualified. However, says the Gemara, hi meiser, when we speak about meiser, hoil low possible mumma, the fact that an animal is about mum doesn't exempt it from the din of Maisa Behema. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Lo yivaka ben tov l'ra, v'lo yavirena. That animal that turns out, if the tenth animal is a balmum, it falls into the din of Maisa Behema. But as we learned earlier in the Perek, at the beginning of the Perek, just so it wouldn't be brought as a carbon, the owner will eat it, and there'll be certain restrictions of Gizva Avoida. The same thing, Dvar Erva Avoida Zara, Nami Loi Pasabe. Dvar Erva and Avoida Zara will not be a disqualification for Maisa Behema. And therefore, says the Gemara, Roiva Venerva, what is the issue of Roiva Venerva? Dvar Erva. Mutzva Neved, what is the issue? Avoida Zara. V'esnan, what is the issue of Esnan? Dvar Erva. Or Mechir, Iskish L'esnan. A Mechir is compared to an Esnan, and whatever is the Aloch of Esnan is the Aloch of the Mechir. Says the Shal Sechuvah Space Halevi, there's one more animal that the Gemara doesn't speak about. What about an animal that's a Nachon? An animal that did damage. That is certainly disqualified as a carbon. Says the Beis Halevi, that the din of a Nachon always travels together with the din of Erva and Avoida Zara, and if they're included in the obligation of Maisa Behema, so too will a Nachon be included in the obligation of, Maisa Behema. But I have to make a point that the Rishonim make, it's an obvious point, that even though all of these animals that we just discussed, that are disqualified as a carbon, but are included in the obligation of Maisa Behema, that means if that animal turns out to be the tenth animal, we won't bring it as a carbon. We know an animal, even if it's not a balmum, because such an animal could certainly never be brought on the Mizbeach. We'll have to wait for it to become a balmum, and the owner will then be able to eat it, but not to gizva avoida. Furthermore, says the Gemara, tumtum androgynous, why they included, according to this Tana, in the obligation of Maisa Behema, ksavas feikahu. Because this Tana is of the opinion, then what is the problem of a tumtum and androgynous? We don't know if it's a male or it's a female. So that's a suffix that we have, but God knows if it's a male or a female. And therefore, it's certainly obligated in Maisa Behema, like all other males and females. Rav Shimon ben Yehudaimer, he says that a tumtum and androgynous are not obligated in a Maisa Behema. Why? Kesavar Sveikahu. Going back to a sugi that we learned earlier, he considers it, and there's another Gersa that says it explicitly, he considers it a barrier, he considers a tumtum androgynous a barrier b'fnei atzmai. And my, mi'ik rachmana gabakachim, the Torah teaches us, zocha v'adai, v'nekeva v'adais, only a male or a female are included in the obligation, v'nloi tumtum androgynous, that are a separate species, and then mice and nami, and since that's the aloha by all kabbonis, he compares mice to carbon, gomatachs tachs mikachim, and just like this new species is excluded that it can't be brought as a carbon, it's not brought for mice behema either. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara, the Brisa says, hakol nechnosim odilis aser, chutz ben akloim v'atreif divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, ish kfar besusa, shomer b'shua, shomer b'shim r'b'shua. Amar Rabbi Kiva, says Rabbi Kiva, af ani shemati himanu, af yotze doifin umechusuz man v'yosim. I heard that they are included. V'tanakama, ask the Gemara, I don't understand. Same question that we had earlier. Igomar, tachas tachas mikotshim, if he compares maisa behemah to kotshim, hani namiloi. So all these animals also should not be included in the obligation of maisa behemah. V'loi gomar, and if he doesn't, bishlam a treifa. So I could understand why a treifa even should not be in the parasha of Maisa Behema. Why? Because the Torah, in describing the procedure of Maisa Behema, says kol ha'shiyava tachas ha'sheviksiv, that the procedure, and we'll discuss this more tomorrow, Shir, is that the animal goes through the door, prat l'treifa, shena averis. As the Gemara taught us, Tosfos explains this, the second Tosfos on the Amid. Tosfos says that the Gemara Masechta the Chulin taught us that one of the treifas is an animal missing its leg minakuva milamala. It's missing a part of the leg above the from the ankle and up. So such an animal can walk. And part of the procedure is the need for the ability for the animal to be able to walk. So that's why it's excluded. And as the Rishonim say, but that's only one of the Yudches treifas. There are 18 treifas we learned in Masechta Chulin. But the Rishonim say, once that treifa is eliminated, all treifas have the same din. Where there is an interesting machloikus Rishonim, and Tosfos discusses that as well here, is what happens if the animal is only missing the bottom part of its leg? So let's think about that case where it's only missing the bottom part of its leg. It can't walk if it's missing part of its leg, but it's not a treifa. So Taisa says that animal will be chayiv in maisa behema. That's what Taisa says here. The Arishayim to disagree because it can't physically fulfill the requirement of kol hashiyaver that it has to be able to walk and it won't be chayiv. El klayim, ask the Gemara klayim anole. From here, where will he know that klayim should not be in maisa behema if he doesn't compare klayim, doesn't compare maisa behema to kachim? Says the Gemara loylem gomer. He does compare maisa behema to kachim. So if so, Yaitzadayfim, why is an animal that's born with a cesarean obligated in Maisa Behema? Savalakar of Shimon, he agrees with the opinion of Shimon, Dama Yaitzadayfim Vlad Ma'al Yehu, Udlaikar of Yoichanan. As we've discussed in our Shurim many times, Baruch Hashem, the halacha the Torah says is that if a woman has a boy for natural birth, for the first 7 days she's certainly Tamei, no matter what. And I have to emphasize this is all Midaraisa. And for the next 33 days, she's tar no matter what. By a girl, everything doubles. First 14 days, she's tamei no matter what, even if she's not emitting any dam. The next 66 days, she's tar no matter what, even if she's emitting dam. The machlokes m'sachtanida is what's the din if she had a child with cesarean. So Shimon holds that if she had cesarean, it's the same. So he says cesarean is considered a leida. If it's considered a leida, it's mechuyev in carbon. It can be used for carbon, and it can be used for Maisa Behema. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree. But Mechus Zman, why is Mechus Zman included in the Maisa Behema? It goes back to Gemara we learned in our previous year. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda is following the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda taught us in our previous year to review as follows. And a Bechor is born. So everybody understands that as soon as the Bechor is born, Kedushasa Merechem, it has the din of a Bechor. But the halacha is you can't bring it a carbon until it's 8 days old. So we see that Mechus's man is not a deficiency. Similarly, he'll say for Maisa Behema, it's not a deficiency. Yosem, why does he hold that Yosem is included? Because it's referring to a situation that we spoke about in the Mishnah as well, Kegon Sheshalach Kayim, that the hide of the mother, the skin of the mother is still here. Rabbi Shula Tamei, and it follows the opinion of Rabbi Shula that we looked in our Mishnah, Dama Afilu Shachres Ima. Even if the mother died before the baby, the Shalach Kayim, but its hide is still here, Ein Zeh Yosem, it's not considered a Yosem. So since the Gemara speaks about the situation of an animal born and the hide still being here, and therefore it's not a Yosem, the Gemara quotes this memra. Heid Rabbi Shmo Ben Sesriel Me'arkas Levena. The Dom said Arkas Levena is a place where the people were extremely intelligent. It was a place near the Sambatian Nohar. Lefnei Rebbe Rebbe, and he said the following. V'mekameinu, in our place, mefshitin as hamesa, when an animal would die in childbirth, umabishin as achai. And they would take the hide and use it to warm the baby, that it should not lose out the fact that its mother passed away. Amar Rebbe, so Rebbe said, we can now understand our Mishnah why such an animal whose mother's hide is still here, Rabbi Shua taught us in the Mishnah, is not considered a Yosem. Then he said, just to say a word of introduction, some very interesting statements. The Mashah tells us that we should take these statements at face value, because the Gemara says it, but there's also a deeper pshat that we'll try to understand. He said, Chazirim shemem kameinu, the chazirim that live in our location, yesh lam shishim ruba klofim, have 600,000 layers, kibes hamsas, kibes hamsas shloi, in their stomach. They have so many layers in their intestines. So again, Mashal says this posh pshat, but there's a deeper pshat. What is the deeper pshat? He says that we know that every word of Torah could be interpreted in many ways, and there's the true ways. So he says, the Chazerim, there's 600,000 different explanations till you get to the right explanation, the true explanation of what Torah is. Then he says another story. One time a large tree fell down. And just on the point of it, 16 chariots were able to go. What's pshat in this, says the Marsha? The Marsha says that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, was the one that had the ability to say a pilpul in Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, was generous and gave over that ability to future generations. We look in Pirkei Avos, Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, the Mishnah starts, Masarul Yeshuv, Yeshul Zakenim. This is the 16 generations that gained from the teaching of Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. In another situation, Pamachas Nafla Beya Bar Yochni, there was once this large animal wrapped its egg. V'tava Shishim Krochim, 60 towns drowned in the egg. V'shavar Shloish Mei Arozim, and 300 large trees were shattered from this egg falling in them. Ask the Gemara, Umishajala, does this bird ever drop its eggs? The Ksiv, Ksnaf Renonim Nelsa, and as Rashi explains, that Nelsa means Nois Ulav Neschata, it never drops its bird, egg. So how are we saying that it drops its egg? Amrav Shimban, Amrav Ashi, Hu Mezurtahava. It was a spoiled egg, that's why it dropped it. What does the Marsha say this means? The Marsha says, what this means is that the first luchas that were broken by Moshe Rabbeinu caused for all of us tzoris for all future generations. Had we kept the Torah, the first luchas, they need not have been broken, we would have never forgotten our Torah. A lot of the problems that we had would have never occurred. Here we refer to what happened because the first luchas were broken. There's a beautiful vart from the Malbim, that the Malbim says, what we learned in our Mishnah, that the hide warms the baby that's born when the mother dies. He says, the comparison, this is a mashal to Olam Hazeh. He says, certainly what's important is the animal, not the hide. And similarly, certainly what's important is Ruchnius, not Gashmius. But on the other hand, without Gashmius, without the hide warming us, we can never have Ruchnius. We need to have Gashmius to be able to survive. In Main Torah and Kemach, what's the Kemach worth if we don't live a life of Torah? In Kemach, if we don't have the Gashmius that we need to survive, in Torah we can't live a life of Torah mitzvahs.